And I suppose he also got a knife. Of course, you should not take a sharp knife unless your mommy gives you permission, but I'm just telling you what happened in this story. He somehow got a knife, and he came back into the room with his two potatoes while the Alter Rebbe was davening, and he took one potato and he made it like a tefillin. He cut the potato to be like a tefillin. And the peels, the way he peeled the potato, was in such a way that the peel didn't break off, but you can go around and around and make a long peel. And he put the potato on his arm next to his heart, and the peel he made around and around like the tefillin straps, like the straps of the tefillin around his arm. He put on one potato tefillin, and the other potato he made into a tefillin for his head, a tefillin shel roish, and he put it on his head, and the peels he made to be straps. And somehow he got the potato tefillin to stay on, and the Hasidim, once in a while, you know, I mean, I guess it's not like spying, they want to see what a great tzaddik does, what the Rebbe does, they would sometimes go by the room and take a peek through the keyhole just to watch the Rebbe davening. It was so halik. And they saw the Alter Rebbe, he used to move around during the davening. Sometimes he'd walk back and forth because of, not, you know, some people just walk back and forth because they don't think about what they're davening, or maybe they just want to, you know, they're just nervous or something. They walk back and forth. The Alter Rebbe would be so full of feeling. He couldn't sit still. He would just be so excited from the davening. He would go back and forth in his room, and he would walk sometimes back and forth. So they saw the Alter Rebbe was walking, and behind him, in his potato tefillin, the Tzemach Tzedek was walking. Little Menachem Mendel was walking behind the Alter Rebbe in his potato tefillin. And they watched that. Anyway, another story. The Alter Rebbe used to say, Maimarim, Halakhet Torah from Hasidus, and he would say it in his room, and the Hasidim would be in the Alter Rebbe's room, and because there were so many that tried to fit in, they would be standing, squished, and the Alter Rebbe would be sitting by his desk, and he would say Hasidus. Now, in order for everybody to be able to hear in the room, it had to be very quiet. And of course, nobody would talk anyway, but I'm just saying that the people in the back row should be able to hear. And not only hear, they had no tape recorders. They were not writing it down. They had to remember every word. They would remember in their minds every word as the Alter Rebbe was saying it. So they have to have a lot of kavana. They have to concentrate. And of course, they didn't want anything to disturb them. So only the Hasidim would be in the room, but the little Tzemach Tzedek, the little Menachem Mendel, also as a little boy was allowed to be in his Zaidi's room when his Zaidi was saying a Maimer, when he was saying Torah, Hasidus. Now the Tzemach Tzedek was allowed to be in the room. He was a little kid. Now what would he do? As the Alter Rebbe is saying the Torah, and the Hasidim are standing there, listening, concentrating to every word, he would be walking and crawling around by their feet. He would be just going through their feet, walking around, playing around. At least they thought he was playing around. Now one time, one of the Hasidim, he was near the back, he was trying to listen to the Alter Rebbe. He was trying to concentrate and remember the words of the Alter Rebbe. All of a sudden he feels something by his feet moving, and he started getting very upset, and he wanted to tell, and he looked down and he saw this little kid crawling to his feet playing around, and he got very upset. Oi, he's disturbing me. And he wanted to tell the little Tzemach Tzedek to stop it, you're disturbing. He even felt like telling him to leave the room. You're disturbing everybody, why should you be here? Of course, he couldn't you couldn't really, tell him to leave the room because this is the einikel of the Alter Rebbe. If the Alter Rebbe lets him be there, I mean, you know, they're not going to ask him to leave. But at least to stop doing what he's doing and to stop disturbing. And he wants to tell him something, and all of a sudden, the Alter Rebbe stopped the mimer. And remember, the Alter Rebbe is in the front of the room. This chassid is by the back of the room. And the Alter Rebbe is saying the mimer and looking down, concentrating. And the Alter Rebbe stopped in the middle of the mimer. And he said, Shah, don't tell him anything. He understands, and you're going to see that he understands. And then he went on with the mimer. Now he didn't look up. He didn't look at this chassid. But this chassid felt for sure that the Alter Rebbe knew what was happening. And the Alter Rebbe could feel with his Ruach HaKodesh that this chassid wanted to tell the little kid, the little boy, to stop bothering. And the Alter Rebbe says, Shah, don't tell him anything, leave him alone. And he says, he understands, and you will see that he understands. Remember, that's what the Alter Rebbe said? Er versteht und wir sehen, als er versteht. He understands, and you will see that he understands. Now, the chassid did not know what this means at all. What does that mean? He understands, and you will see that he understands. What does that mean? He didn't know. Now, listen to this kinalach very closely. Many years went by. The Alter Rebbe passed away. And the Mittler Rebbe became the Rebbe. The son, one of the sons of the Alter Rebbe, Doiv Ber, the Mittler Rebbe, became the Rebbe. He was the Rebbe for his years that he was the Rebbe, and then he passed away. And by this time, that chassid that I told you about, that was in the room listening to the mimer of the Alter Rebbe, he was now very old, but he was still alive. And now, the new Rebbe was going to be the Tzemach Tzedek, Menachem Mendel, who had grown up, and now he was going to become the Rebbe. And this was going to be the first time that the new Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, was going to become the Rebbe, the first time that he was going to come out as the Rebbe after the Mittler Rebbe passed away. And the way that he started to be the Rebbe is to say a Maimer Chassidus, to say over Chassidus. And everybody was excited in the shul. What is going to be the first Maimer, the first Chassidus, the first Torah that the new Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, is going to say? And this chassid, this very old chassid, was also in the shul, very excited. Now remember, this is the little boy that had grown up now, over this time, to become now the new Rebbe, the third Rebbe. And all of a sudden, the Tzemach Tzedek came out. He was dressed all in white. And there's even a drawing of that. He went to the front of the shul. He sat down and he started to say a mimer. And everybody was listening. What is going to be the first mimer of the Tzemach Tzedek? And you know what it was? It was exactly the same mimer that the Alter Rebbe had said in that room many, many years ago when the little Tzemach Tzedek was crawling around playing between the legs of the Chassidim. And all of a sudden, this old, old Elter HaChassid thinks to himself, "Hoy, wait a minute. I now remember the words of the Alter Rebbe that he said during the mimer when the Tzemach Tzedek was crawling around through my legs and I got upset for a minute. He said, Shah, don't tell him anything. He said, Shah, don't say anything. He understands, and you will see that he understands." All of a sudden, he saw exactly what the words meant. That while he was crawling around, he was also listening to his Zaydi, the Alter Rebbe, and he understood the mimer. That's where he learned it. And this is the amazing thing about this story. That's where he learned the mimer, together with the Chassidim that day. He heard it, and he understood, and he remembered every single word, and that's what he said That's the maimer that he said when he became the Rebbe. And now, this old Elter Chassid saw the Ruach HaKadosh in the Alter Rebbe's words. He understands, and you will see that he understands. What does that mean? He was there. He sees for himself that the little Tzemach Tzedekel understood the maimer when the Alter Rebbe was saying it. And he lived to see that day that the Tzemach Tzedek himself would say over the maimer as the Rebbe. So even while he was crawling around on the floor as a little kid, and everybody thought he was playing, he was listening, understanding, and remembering every word of the Alter Rebbe. One day, it was a very hot, schwitzy day. The Baal Shem Tov came over to one of his Talmidim. His name was Reb Mendel. And he says, Reb Mendel, would you like to come with me on a trip? Oh, Reb Mendel was very excited to go with the Baal Shem Tov on a trip. This is a very big schus. And it's very interesting to see what's going to happen. All kinds of interesting things would happen when the Baal Shem Tov would go on a trip. And they start to walk. And Reb Mendel noticed that they're not going today in the wagon. Many times the Baal Shem Tov would take his wagon. His wagon driver would fall asleep. The horses would go by themselves. And the horses would go because they would know where to go by some higher way. The horses would just go by themselves to somewhere, and that would be the trip of the Baal Shem Tov. Many times they would go very fast with Kfitzas HaDerech. But this particular trip, there were no horses and no wagon. It was a walking trip. And Reb Mendel begins to think to himself, a walking trip on such a hot day. I hope we're not going too far because it's so hot. And he started going past all the houses out of the town, down the road, over the bridge, past the fields, far, far away. And they still were going. Oh, it was so hot. Reb Mendel starts to think to himself, we don't have any water. We didn't take with ourselves water. I didn't know how far the trip is going to be. And they go even farther down the road. Reb Mendel is so thirsty now. It's so hot outside. And he starts looking around for a lake or a river or somewhere to get water. Nothing. Dry. Everything is dry. Ay vey, I'm so thirsty. And the Baal Shem Tov continued walking, continued going. Finally, Reb Mendel says to the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, aren't you thirsty? I'm so thirsty. I need a drink. And the Baal Shem Tov just said, don't worry, we'll have a drink. But there was no drink, and they continued going. A little while later, Reb Mendel, he was so thirsty, he asked the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, isn't there any place that we could have water? I'm so thirsty. The Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry, we're going to drink. A little while later, Reb Mendel couldn't stand it anymore. Rebbe, I don't know what's going to happen to me if I don't drink. I'm so thirsty. And the Baal Shem Tov looked at Reb Mendel and he said, Mendel, do you believe in Hashem? Do you believe that Hashem made the whole world? Yes, Rebbe. Do you believe Hashem takes care of the whole world and he sees everything and everybody in the world? Yes, Rebbe. Do you believe that Hashem sees you and me right now? And he knows that it's a hot day and that we're thirsty and that we're out in the middle of the field somewhere down the road? Do you believe that? Yes, Rebbe. And do you believe that Hashem can also give us water where we are? Yes, Rebbe, I believe that. So the Baal Shem Tov says, so what's the problem? We need a drink, we're going to drink. All of a sudden, coming down the road was a man with a big pole on his shoulder, and on both ends of the pole were big buckets And they were full of water. This was a water carrier. And he's coming right towards them on the road, coming the other way. And he was the only person on the road. In fact, he was around the only person they saw the whole day. And all of a sudden, they see this delicious water in these two buckets. By the way, when you see a water carrier, or you see water, what are you supposed to say? Does anybody know? Some people do it when they go over the bridge and they see the water, or they see a lake. What are you supposed to say? Does anybody know?
It's a siman bracha.
You say, the Baal Shem Tov says that when you see water, you should say that the Baal Shem Tov says that when you see water, it's a siman bracha, right? Anyway, they asked the man, could we please have a drink from the water? The man smiles, oh sure, I'll be glad to give you this water, it's delicious water. And he gives them a big, delicious drink. And they make shahakoil, and they drink, and boy nefashois, oh, it's wonderful. And Reb Mendel is wondering, what brings you here to this place in the middle of nowhere with two big buckets of water? And the man says, well, it's very interesting actually, because I've really never been here before, and I just wound up here just today. Oh yeah, what happened? He says, well, I'll tell you. I work for a poritz. A poritz is like a king who lives in a castle, but he's a little king, not a big king. And I'm the water carrier for the poritz, and I get water for him and for his family and everybody that lives in the castle. And every morning, I go down to the river to get water. It takes about 5 minutes to walk to the river. I fill up the buckets, and it takes about 5 minutes to walk back. And I'm busy giving water wherever it has to be given into the in the castle. But this morning, I was going to go to the river. In fact, I did go to the river. I brought the poritz water. The poritz was thirsty in the morning. And he drinks the water and he says, yuck, this is yucky water. It doesn't taste good. I can't drink this water. I have to have better water. Where did you get this water? I got it from the river. The poritz says, well, there's something wrong with the water. Why don't you go to the lake? Okay, I'll go to the lake. Now the lake was about 10 minutes past the river. You have to go through the forest a little bit to the lake. And the water carrier goes to the lake and he gets water from the lake and he brings it back to the poritz. By now the poritz is upset because he's thirsty and all he had was a drink of yucky water. And now the poritz takes the new cup of water from the lake and he drinks it. He says, it tastes like onion juice or something. It's not good, this water. I must have a good drink of water. I'm thirsty. The first water tasted like pickle juice, and this water tastes like onion juice. I'm getting very upset because I don't have a good drink of water. And the poritz didn't feel like drinking pickle juice or onion juice. So the poritz said, I remember now. A few months ago, I was on a hunting trip way, way out in the fields. And we came upon a lake of water. And we were so thirsty, we drank the water and it tasted so delicious, like soda, like wine. It was a delicious tasting water, cold and refreshing and delicious. The poritz said, today I want water from that lake. And the water carrier said, okay, where is it? The poritz said, you go way down the road, far, far down the road, past a few bridges, and past a few hills, and past all the trees, way, way out in the middle of nowhere, and that's where the lake is, and that's where I want my water from today. I need a good drink of water, especially after that pickle juice water and the onion juice water. And that's why the water carrier was there that day, because he had to go way out to that lake And when he got to the lake, he filled up his buckets of water, and now he was on his way back. And that's when the Baal Shem Tov and his student, Reb Mendel, met the water carrier and had a delicious drink of water. Now, Ken Allah, what do we learn from this story? There's many, many things we learn from this story. The first thing, as soon as you're quiet, we make a bracha in the morning. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, ha-meichin mitzadei gover. Hashem leads the step of a person. You never know exactly where you're going or why you're going there. Sometimes you're in a place and you do something there and you didn't even realize that that's the whole reason you were supposed to be there. The second bracha we make, we say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, sha'asa li kol tzarki. Hashem made for me everything that I need. He already made it. Which means, if I really need something, and it's a kosher thing, it's Hashem, it's a thing that Hashem also would agree that I need, Hashem already made it for me. And if I didn't get it now, I just have to wait maybe another minute and I will get it if that's the thing that I'm supposed to have from Hashem. Because Hashem already prepared for me and made for me everything that I need. And we also say, Ata Nayusein Lahem Es Achlam B'itoy. Hashem gives everything at the right time. If it's not today, it's tomorrow. If it's not this minute, it could be the next minute. Everything has its time from Hashem. This story takes place during the Spanish Inquisition, when the Yidden had to be secret Yidden. And they kept Torah mitzvahs in their house and in the basement, because if they would be caught by the Inquisition, they would be very, very terribly punished. So on the outside, they pretended that like anybody else in Spain. And on the inside and on the basement, they were Yidden. They had secret minyanim, and the mommies lit Shabbos candles in the basement, and everything was done secret. But the Inquisition was going around spying. The secret police were going around spying all the time to catch more and more Yidden inside of their house. And this story takes place with Chaim Yankel and his wife Gittel. It's Friday night. Chaim Yankel just came home from the secret minyan and he's making Kiddush. And the secret police of the Inquisition was outside of his house, spying, looking through the curtains, peeking through the cracks. They look. He lifts up a cup of wine to drink. Well, it could be just regular wine, like any other Spanish person might drink wine on a Friday night. Okay, let's see what he does next. He's eating this bread. It looks like a bumpy bread. Well, yeah, it could be that he's just like any other Spanish eating bread on a Friday night. Oh, now his wife gives him fish. Oh, that's very good, because all the Spanish people on Friday night, they eat fish. Only fish. Now, one thing I'll tell you right now, they're not allowed to eat meat on Friday night or chicken, just fish. So they say, this man is like any other good Spanish person eating fish. And then Gittel serves her husband soup. Well, they couldn't tell what kind of soup it is. They just see, you know, some onions and some carrots. Oh, this must be fish soup. It's probably fish soup. Or maybe vegetable soup. Let's get going back to the Inquisition. No, let's stay. Maybe he's going to eat something else.
And Gittel goes into the kitchen, and she brings Chaim Yankel a plate of chicken. There's a pulque, there's a fliegel. Hey, look, he's eating chicken. It's not a regular person. It must be a Jew. Let's get him. And they go in, and they go in through the door without asking, and they say, you're under arrest. We're taking you to the Inquisition. We can prove you're a Jew. You're eating chicken on a Friday night. Let's take the plate. And they take Yankel, Chaim Yankel, they take him to the big room of the Inquisition, and the judges are sitting there, the scary judges, and they go into the big room. And the police say to the judges, we caught a Jew. He eats chicken Friday night. Let's punish him. And the judges say, is this the first time or the second time? This is the first time, okay? Let's make him like any other Spanish person. They went to the special water over there, and they spritz him. They spritz him 3 times over the water. Okay, you're no longer a Jew. You're like any other Spanish person. Go home, and that's it. Finished. No more Shabbos, no more Torah, no more mitzvahs. We've made you to be a goy. That's it. Okay, Chaim Yankel goes home. Gittel says, oh, you came home. Baruch Hashem. What happened? Well, I don't know. They spritzed me 3 times and made me a goy. I don't know what happened to me.
What? You're a goy?
Well, that's what they said. No, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. I'm tired. I'll go to sleep. He said, Kriya Shema Lamita, he goes to sleep, he wakes up, he says, Maideani, washes Nagelvasser, goes to Davin, and the whole week goes by. The next Friday night, Chaim Yankel comes back from the secret minyan, of course he Davin on Shabbos, and now the Inquisition sent the secret to police to spy on Yankel, the Chaim Yankel. They look through the curtains. He's lifting up a cup of wine. They look, he's lifting up a cup of wine. Eh, it's okay. He's eating the bumpy bread. Oh, it's okay. He eats fish. Very good. He eats soup. No problem. All of a sudden, Gittel brings out chicken. A pulque, a fliegel, chicken. Look. I told him what's wrong with chicken. What's wrong with chicken is that it shows he's a Yid, because the Spanish people do not eat. They're not allowed to eat chicken on Friday night or meat. If it's a person eating chicken, it means he's a Yid. They go and arrest Chaim Yankel. They say you're under arrest. This time you're going to be the worst punishment. And they take him to the Inquisition. He goes into the big room, and the judges are sitting there. Hey, he came last week. Yes, we're arresting him again. Look what we found. Chicken on the plate. Here it is. The judges look at it. They say to Chaim Yankel, what do you have to say for yourself that you have chicken? And Chaim Yankel says, it's not chicken. On the plate is not chicken. What? What do you mean it's not chicken? What is it? It's fish. What do you mean it's fish? It's chicken. We see on the plate chicken. Chaim Yankel says, no, it's fish. And the judges look at it. They see a fliegel, they see a pulque. They smell it. It's chicken. They look at it. It's chicken. One of them tastes it a little bit. Don't tell anybody. It's chicken. And they say, how can you say this is fish if we see it's chicken? Well, Chaim Yankel says, I'll tell you what happened. It used to be chicken, but I saw it's chicken, you know, didn't want it to be chicken. So what did I do? I took my soup and I spritzed it 3 times. Spritzed it 3 times with my soup, and I said, now it's fish. So I made it to be fish. So now it's fish, it's not chicken. And the judges say, don't you know, you can't spritz chicken 3 times and make it to fish. It's chicken. It stays chicken. Spritzing 3 times doesn't do anything. It's a chicken. It stayed a chicken. You can't turn it to be fish by spritzing 3 times. Chaim Yankel says, look, last week you took me and you took water and you spritzed me 3 times. You said, now I'm not a Yid. I'm a goy. You spritzed me 3 times. So I said, if you could do that to me, I could take a piece of chicken and spritz it 3 times and make it to be a fish. And of course, they saw that you can't take a piece of chicken and spritz it 3 times and make it to be a fish. Same thing, you can't take a Yid and spritz him 3 times and make him to be anything else. He stays a Yid.